We're going to talk about some things. The theme this week has been a series on the Christian home. And this particular subject I've used in other themes other than this one. But I don't know of anything that threatens a home, Christian or otherwise, more than what we have here on the screen in front of us. It's something that we need to give a lot of attention to. And in the world that we live in, the society that we live in, that these young people are growing up in, it's something that's just there, and it's being accepted more and more and more and more. We talk about legalizing some of the drugs. It's been illegal for a long time, and that'll probably happen pretty soon. That presents more and more of a challenge. These young boys and girls that I've been kind of targeting a little bit here the last couple of nights, and I'm sure they're probably tired of that. I don't mean to embarrass any of you when I do that. I just want you to kind of catch a little bit of that, and I think you're catching a whole lot more than I caught when I was your age. You're a good bunch, a real good bunch. But you're going to be faced with a lot of challenges whenever you get a little older, and the challenges of saying, that's not going to be a part of my life. So we're going to talk about one of those especially, and that's drinking primarily. Drunkenness, as I'll define it here, is to be under the influence of a chemical substance such as alcohol or any other mind-altering substance. Alcohol, that's the only picture I can come up with. The needle, the hardcore drugs, as we might call them, pills of various kinds, and I don't have a joint up there. Could have come up with a marijuana joint, I guess. But all of those fall into the category of a mind-altering chemical substance that affects us and controls us. Drunkenness is a sin, a transgression of God's will for man. God didn't create us to be that way. He didn't desire us to be that way. He never intended for it to be that way. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled, awareness is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now you think about that statement just a little bit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's two things that probably a person needs to consider here. Both of these should control the individual, and does control the individual. When you think about a chemical, you think about alcohol, you think about the drink, it can control the individual. I've seen people, my dad, will bring this out in the lesson here tonight. Now, you've heard me make slight references to it through the week, but he was an alcoholic. He died at the age of 62. He looked like he was 92 when he died. But he had started drinking, and he started drinking when he was young, just casually. It was no big deal. Just a little bit. And I promise you, when he died, he did not intend to have lost everything that he had. When I went to the funeral home to take care of the arrangements for him, I sat down across from the funeral director, and he opened a drawer, and he took out a plastic bag. If I had thought about it, I'd have brought it with me and showed it to you. I used to do programs for our high school, and I'd do that with them. But in this plastic bag, there was a pair of fingernail clippers, a pocket knife with three broken blades, and a wallet that was a leather-crafted wallet that was made. And he pitched that on the desk, and he says, "That's your dad's possessions." I said, "That's all there was?" He said, "That's all that you would care about seeing, the clothes he had on him, but we had to burn those." And that's all Jesus talked about. The Bible talks about our life is not made up of just what we possess and what we gain in this life in the sense of wealth and well-being. But when that's all you have to show for 62 years of living because of drinking, because of alcohol, That's a pretty bad statement for the life that you live, wouldn't you say? You can shake your head yes this time, because that wouldn't, none of us would want that to happen. And I promise you, when my dad was 18 years old, or 19 years old, or 23 years old, or 30 years old, he never planned for that to be that way. He didn't expect his son to have to deal with some of those issues. He didn't expect his son to eventually have to take power of attorney of his affairs, and to take the veteran's check that was given to him of $700 a month and take control of that and to ration it out to him so that he could get through the month. But that's what happened the last year or two of his life. Because if I hadn't have done that, or if someone hadn't have done that, that check would have been cashed at the first of the month, and it would have been gone by the second of the month. And it would have been gone at the nearest beer joint or honky-tonk, or he would go to the liquor store and buy things of that nature. And that's a shame for a life to be wasted that way. No one would want that to happen. My dad probably spent time in most county jails in Oklahoma, and a lot of them in California. He spent two terms in the state penitentiary. All of those were because of alcohol-related incidents. Once he went to McAllister, that McAllister's our Huntsville in Oklahoma, and he went there because he was writing hot checks, forged checks. He forged Margaret's name on a check. He forged my name on a check. He would forge his brother's name on a check. He would forge a neighbor's name on a check. These checks were not very big. They might be $20. They might be $15. But they were just enough money for him to buy some booze at the time and get him started drinking. That's a terrible situation. My daughter's here, and she remembers my dad, her granddaddy, and remembers a lot of good things about him when he was sober. You can shake your head yes, Casey, because I know you do. But when he was sober, there was not a better man anywhere. He would help anybody. He would do anything he could to help another person. But once he started drinking, he couldn't stop. Now, when he was 20 years old, he wasn't that way. He could drink a little bit and let it go. When he was 30 years old, he could drink a little bit and let it go. But by the time he was 50 years old, he couldn't do that. Once he started, whether it was one beer or two beers, or whether it was a half a pint of whiskey, or whether it was a bottle of wine, and that's what it ultimately came down to, wine. You've heard of winos? Well, that's what he was. He was a wino on Skid Row in Oklahoma City when he died. Now, nobody likes to stand before an audience and talk about their father that way. Nobody. I don't like to either. But I saw that happen in my own family, and consequently, because of that, and our desire and our concern to try to help other people not ever fall into that kind of situation, we've seen it happen with a lot of other people too. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody that ever takes a drink. But here's what happens. Anytime we start drinking, it puts us in a dangerous situation where that could possibly happen. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the lesson this afternoon. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit affects the way we control, or the way we behave. My granddaddy used to have a phrase when he would go to singing or go to church, you know. In fact, he made a statement one day standing out in our yard and said, "Well, I could take a nap this afternoon instead of going to this singing this afternoon." And my dad, which always liked to jab him some, you know, and make fun of him for going to church all the time, said, "Well, Pop, why are you going then? If it doesn't mean any more than that, if you just soon take a nap." He said, "I didn't say that." He said, "I'm going to singing to keep up the Spirit." Well, that was a phrase that he would say a lot, to keep up the Spirit. But you know what that did when we went to a church service and we sang and we were around other Christians? You know what it did? It kept up the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It controls when we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God by focusing on His Word, by being around other Christians, by singing praises to God. That affects our behavior. It affects who we are. Whenever you drink alcohol, you know what it does? It affects who you are. We had people whenever I was aboard ship in the Navy, you don't want to go ashore with old Ken there. I promise you, old Ken, if you go to shore with Ken, he'll start drinking, he'll get drunk, he'll want to fight everybody he could get a hold of. And then there's Thomas. Old Thomas, well now, if you got to go with somebody that's going to drink, go with old Thomas, because all he wants to do is laugh. He just has fun everywhere. My point is this, it affects your behavior. You're not going to behave that way normally, just like the Spirit of God will affect your behavior and your well-being, you know, if you follow the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? I hope so. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 10. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Excuse me. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, somebody said, well, now that's talking about drunkards, yeah? And that's a sin. That's pretty clear. The Bible's very, am I going to tell you that having a drink is? Oh, we'll get to that in just a minute. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's witchcraft? Where's that little button? What's witchcraft? Well, you look that up in the Greek, and I don't know a lot about Greek, but I can look things up, you know. You know what that means? You know what that particular word means? I think we've got it up here somewhere. Where at? Let me get up here to it. Let me back up here. Down here at the bottom. Witchcraft, medication, pharmacy, sorcery. That's what the word means. Let me get back to this. Envies, drunkenness. Those things are sin. It's a transgression of the law of God for us. Now, why do you suppose that those things would be sinful things? All of those things that are mentioned, but especially the two that I have highlighted. Because they're not good for us. They destroy us. They destroy lives. They destroy homes. They destroyed the home that I grew up in. When I was the age of these boys here, by that age, I had lived with five different uncles. There would be times that I would be with my mother, and the next morning I'd wake up in bed with four other kids and not know exactly where I was at till I got up. I was at one of my uncle's house that had four kids, and I'd be in bed with them. And they got tired of me being left with them. Well, that's left with another one of my brothers, and then another one of my brothers, and then another one of my brothers. Until finally, the last one she had came in one day, and I just love this guy, and they loved me. They really did. They were good people. But he come in one day, and he loaded me up, and he loaded up my clothes in a bushel basket, and he took me to my grandparents' house. And I was just, Landry, I was just about your age, I guess. Maybe a little younger, just a little younger, but not much younger. And he set me on their back porch, and he set that bushel basket there for me, and he looked at my granddaddy and said, Mr. Jones, take care of this boy. His mother's not, and you know his daddy can't. So take care of him. Somebody needs to. And that's where I live for the rest of my time growing up, and I'm thankful for Uncle Roy for doing that, because if he hadn't, I'm no telling what would have happened. See? You know what caused that? It was drunkenness. It was drinking. Was it because my dad was a mean man? Because he was a bad person? Because my mother was a terrible person? No, I think both of them in their own way really kind of cared about me. They just could not handle what alcohol was doing. My daddy would drink. My mother had just as big a problem with anger, and she would get angry and throw things at him. And you know what he did? What do you think he did? throw things back? No, he didn't do that. I've seen him grab her and throw her down and hold her down till she just run out of steam, till she couldn't throw anything else. But he'd go drink some more. The more he'd drink, the angrier she'd get. The angrier she'd get, the more he'd drink. And yes, there were some good people on the Jones side of the family that blamed my mother because of her anger. Eugene wouldn't have drank. No, because Eugene drank, she got angry. No. Both of them had a problem, you see. And it destroyed the home. And I'm not asking for pity or sympathy. I'm just simply pointing out it destroys homes, drunkenness. And it didn't start out that way. That wasn't the plan of any of them, see. Now, let's go on here. I ask the question here, is it all right to drink as long as you don't get drunk? Where in the Bible does it say that if alcohol touches your lips, it's a sin? And why isn't the use of drugs condemned in the Bible? I think I already covered that, but let's look at this. Well, in answer to your first question, according to me, that is, now some others may disagree with this, I say it's not wise. And there's a lot of reasons why it's not wise, and I'm going to talk about those tonight. Where in the Bible does it say that if alcohol touches your lips, it's a sin? I don't think it does. I don't think it's in the Bible. Now, there's some that may say it is, but I don't know of a place. And if there is, somebody show me. Why isn't the use of drugs condemned in the Bible? I've already pointed out Galatians 5:20, where the word witchcraft is mentioned. And the word witchcraft, meaning medication or pharmacy, that's where you get those words, or sorcery. Okay? So, let's look at some of these things. Number one, why alcohol and drug use that changes the kind of our behavior, why it's wrong. Number one, it's making provisions for the flesh. Romans chapter 13:13-14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envies. He's saying, don't walk that way. Don't behave that way. But the contrast to that, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. Now, if I'm going to use a chemical of any kind that has the potential of bringing about drunkenness in me and my behavior, then I have put myself in a very dangerous situation, have I not? I think everybody would agree with that, okay? Let's go a little farther. Number two, it puts a person in a state of vulnerability. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he shall fall. This happened two different times. I've had a woman come to me in a family program we were doing in Red River, New Mexico one time. And she said, you know, I've got a situation and I don't know what to do about it. I love my husband. I love my husband. And I care a great deal about him. And I've tried terribly to always be honest with him and never lie to him and always tell the truth. But I have kept something from him ever since we've been married. And I knew this lady. My son used to be sweet on her. And I knew the guy she was married to. And I thought the world of him. And, this has been recorded, isn't it? You know, be careful who you're where you put this video. I need to quit doing that. Get in trouble here. But this young lady said, I wanted to be pure when I married, and she named her husband. But she said, I wasn't. He thinks I was. I've kept that secret. I was able to, you know, convince him that I was, but I really wasn't. It's been a lie. And she said, you know why I wasn't a pure person, that I had been with another boy? You know why it was that way? She said it was called a six-pack. her and the boy she was going with at the time had got 2 6-packs of beer, and she drank one of them. No big deal. First time she had done that, or first time she had done that when she was with another boy. And you know what that did to her? That lessened her inhibitions. And it made it easier for her to say or to go along with what this boy wanted her to do. And she went along with some things that she really knew wasn't what she wanted to do or what was the right thing to do. And had she not had that beer, she probably wouldn't have done that. And that was eating her up. And we talked about that quite a bit. And of course, I told them that I, you know, my advice was to be honest, to be open, and I felt like it would work out, and it did. Everything turned out okay. The other case was an individual that ended up being pregnant because being under the influence when she was with a boy, doing some things that she normally would not have done in a sober situation. You see, that's what it does to us. Little things like that changes the way we would become. Proverbs chapter 23, 29 through 33. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who had redness of eyes? Who are they that tarry long at the wine? They that seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Number 3, strong drink makes one look foolish. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever goes astray is not wise. You boys, all of you guys, y'all think a lot of your daddy. Come on, shake your head. Loosen up here. You know, your daddy's right here close. You better nod your head. Yeah, I think a lot of my daddy. You don't have to say it. Just shake your head. Yeah, okay. How would you feel if you saw your friends making fun of your daddy? And just, I mean, we used to have a big old house when I lived with my grandparents. Had a staircase, wound around it, old house, old farmhouse. And my cousins and I would play, and here's one of the games that they would come up with. Hey, let's play Eugene. You know who Eugene was? Eugene was my dad. That was my father. And you know what they were talking about when they said, let's play Eugene? Let's play it like we're drunk. And they would stagger around and fall down those stairs and laugh. You know what I did? I laughed with them. I laughed right along with them. You know how it hurt inside? It hurt bad inside. Because none of us ever said, let's play Olin. That was their daddy's name. See. Or let's play and name one of the other fathers. But when they wanted to act like a fool and act like an idiot, let's play Eugene, see? Strong drink makes one look foolish. And it does. And you don't have to be totally drunk, or what they might call legally drunk, to look foolish. See? That's why it's bad. That's one reason it's bad. Proverbs 20:1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever goes astray is not wise. Number 4, it can cause others to stumble. And I talked about this earlier in the week, didn't I? You know, this when you shake your head this way. Okay? I did. Romans chapter 14, 21, 22, it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Blessed is he who does not condemn himself in that which he approves. You don't have to be a drunkard for you to be a bad influence on another. I visited with a woman one time. I thought we had a pretty good chance in getting her to come to church and being obedient to the gospel. And consequently, that did happen. But here was the excuse for a long time. Why do I want to go down there and be with a bunch of hypocrites? And of course, I had all kinds of lines for that. Would you rather, you know, go to hell with hypocrites or, you know, or go to church with them once in a while? You know, you can't tell what other people do. But you know what it was? They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I saw your brother so-and-so in the grocery store with a six-pack in his... Now, brother so-and-so, they got the six-pack. It might have taken him a week to drink the six-pack. Might have taken him a day. I don't know. She didn't either. But here's what the deal was. She saw that, and it caused her to not even want to be a part of the church. Let's just carry it a little bit farther. What if it's an individual, just a young person growing up, and they see somebody, and you're from the church, and they see you get something like that, and they say, well, if it's all right for them, it's, you know, why not all right for me? And so they start drinking it. Or you start drinking it. And you don't have the control maybe that person has. And then pretty soon before you know it, you got a real problem in your life. Because of its addictive nature. Number five, because of its addictive nature. Addiction is to apply oneself habitually. It's the act of devoting or giving up yourself to a practice. It's doing something over and over that you can't get out of. You gotta have it. I know people that's been around me for a little bit. You ask my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law over here, and they'll tell you that I'm addicted to Diet Cokes. Jim, would you rather see me or meet me coming down the road with six Diet Cokes under my belt in the last hour and a half or six beers? You can answer. They're not gonna make you go home, are you? Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, that's pretty clear. But you know what addiction is, okay? Let's go on. Proverbs 23:31-35, do not look upon the wine when it's red, when it gives its color in the cup. We read part of this a while ago. When it goes down smoothly, at last it bites like an ass, stings like an adder. Your eyes shall look upon strange women. Your heart shall speak perverse things. Yes, you shall be as one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or as one who lies upon the top of a mast, saying, they struck me. I was not sick. They beat me. I did not know it. When I awaken, I will add more. I will seek it yet again. I've gone to my daddy and I've cleaned him up, sobered him up. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, I feel awful. Oh, I got the shakes so bad. Oh. 2 days later, right back in the same situation, drinking again, doing this again. I will awaken, I will seek it. That's addiction. That's what that is. It's addiction. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful. Run out there. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Oh, what am I down here? But I will not be brought under the power of any. So addiction. Let's look at that. That's what we're concerned about. Addiction. Addiction can occur in different ways. Number one, it can occur by a continual use over a long period of time. It's doing the same thing over and over until you develop a likelihood for it. I'm going to confess something to you. Wish I didn't have to, but I do, and I'll be honest with you. I used to smoke, and I started out when I was about, too young. Well, If I'd have started out when I was 50, I would have started out too young. You should never start out. But I started out. All my buddies were smoking. All of my friends were smoking. My parents smoked. My grandparents didn't, but my dad did. My uncles did. My aunts did. Wasn't that big a deal. You smoked. And so the boys would slip around and get a cigarette butt, and we'd smoke. And they made fun of me. You know what they'd make fun of me for? Because I couldn't inhale. I tried. I would try, David. I'd take a puff on that thing. And how do you do that? And then finally I did. Oh, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. It was awful. But you know what? Everybody was doing it like we talked about the other night. And like a fool, like an idiot, I just kept doing it. Until pretty soon it was pretty hard to quit. In fact, it took me nearly a year before I finally quit. Last cigarette I ever had was with Sam Potter. He started to light one up. And I said, man, that smells good. Give me one. He said, did you quit again? I was always quitting, you know. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to make one. He said, I'm not going to give you one. I said, no, come on, give me. He gave me one. I took one drag off and put it out and hadn't had one since. So you know how long that's been. That's been a long time ago. But that addiction can occur by a continual use of something over a long period of time. Let's take drinking a beer. Does drinking a beer make you an alcoholic? No. But what happens if I just keep doing it over and over and over and over? What happens if I drink two or three and I just do it every day or every few days? Or if I did a little whiskey that way, you know, just a little bit. I held a meeting one time and I got up on a Sunday morning. No, it was a Saturday night and I couldn't hardly make a sound. And this brother said, here, Brother Jones, I've got something that could help you. And he goes to the cabinet and opens up a something, old crow or something, old something or other, and gets a big spoon. I thought his wife's going to have a heart attack. And he gets a big spoon. He puts a little bit of salt in the bottom of that spoon and pours that whiskey on top of it and says, take this. Maybe that'll help you. And so I did. And boy, I just cleared up my throat and I got up there and spoke. Does that make me an alcoholic? Well, no. See? But sometimes doing it for purposes like that, it can create a habit of using it. Pretty soon you take a little bit more. Not only does it clear up your throat, it just makes you feel a little bit better for a little bit. And it does for a little bit. By a continual use over a long period of time. Starts out maybe as fun or relaxation. Chill out a little bit. But here's what happens. What happens when there's a little stress? Maybe on the job, things don't go well. Things are not just happening the way you want them to happen. And so what do you do? Well, I know that if I drink a couple, I can relax a little bit. And they do. They relax for a little bit. Then the next time you drink a little bit more and a little bit more. So the person that says, well, it doesn't bother me. I can take it or I can leave it. Maybe they can for 10 years. Maybe they can for 20 years. But I promise you, there'll be one in 1,000 if they make it 30 years and it's not really messing up their life in some way. Gradually they become dependent. Another way addiction occurs, you could be born with a propensity for alcohol. You know what that means? That could mean that you, once you start drinking it, you have a particular taste for it, and you're just kind of drawn to that. I'll give you an example. I've used my dad quite a bit, maybe inappropriately. I don't know. You can be the judge of that here tonight about how he gave in to alcohol. Well, he had a brother that grew up with him. Do you know what? He wasn't that way. For some reason, in some way, my dad was the kind that just had a, seemed to have it seemed to be drawn to it in a greater way. I don't know why, but the experts tell us that that's a possibility. You can argue with that or not. It doesn't make any difference, but that's what they tell us. Whether it's true, you'll have to decide. Number three, you could develop a chemical imbalance. You could develop a chemical imbalance. Now, let me see if I can remember this story. It's been a long time since I've given this lesson. This is a true story. This is true. Not about my daddy either. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Down in Austin, Texas, where they have the University of Texas and their medical school, they would take cadavers. You know what a cadaver is? That's a body. That's something I never wanted to be around when I was y'all's age, but that's a body. And they would take these cadavers, and they have to have a body for people to work on and to look. This doesn't sound very good, does it? I don't want to give y'all nightmares. I don't want nightmares. But you take a cadaver, cut them open to be able to know where the liver is and heart is and different things and various situations like that. And they began to notice that whenever they would open up the brain, that in some of these cadavers, there was a chemical they didn't find in some of the other cadavers. So they began to separate them. They would take the cadavers where they found this strange chemical that they didn't find anywhere else. It's just an odd chemical at the time. And they began, well, where'd these people come from? Where did these people that had this chemical in their brain come from? And they found out, well, all of them, every one of them, were the people that died on Skid Row. They were alcoholics. They were winos. They were the people that didn't eat well. All they did was drink. They usually drank wine at the last. And they just, that's all they did. And the other cadavers that didn't have that, they didn't fall in that category. So they began to take this chemical, and they wanted to find out a little bit more about it. So they would take rats. Now, I don't know how they did this. I really don't. And this really conjures up some, makes me scratch my head. But they would put a little bit of that chemical. They would take these rats, and they would put them in a, first they would put them in a cage. That's where I'd want to put a rat. Put these rats in a cage, and they would put a little container of water in there and a little container of alcohol or vodka. Vodka looks like water. It's clear. And they'd put that in there. And the rat would never, ever drink that vodka. They'd always go drink the water. Always. That makes sense. Rats smarter than a lot of people. So, what they would do, and this is what is bum-puzzling to me, they would take a needle somehow and stick this chemical that they got out of these winos on Skid Row, and they would stick that in the brain of these rats somewhere, somehow. And they'd put them back in the cage. And you know what the rats would do? They would go to the vodka and they'd drink it dry and leave the water there. And if they couldn't get the vodka, they'd just simply die without even drinking the water. So there was something, some chemical in the brain of these winos, these drunks, these alcoholics on Skid Row that caused them to just want to go back and back and back to it. Now, does that mean that they were born that way? Not necessarily. Might have been some of them. Possibly could have been. I don't know. That's why you don't want to ever start. If you never start, you don't have to worry about that. See? If you got that chemical in your brain, would I have that chemical in my brain? Well, if you think about it, don't worry about it. Just don't ever drink. And you'll never have to worry about it. But here's what their conclusion was, is that what happens was, with a person that just keeps drinking and keeps drinking and keeps drinking, this chemical develops, or they think it could develop in the brain. And that's why oftentimes they don't eat like they should. They are low in vitamin B12 and that sort of thing. See? So, there's a lot of different ways that a person could become addicted to alcohol in a very innocent form. And we think sometimes that, well, they're just people that go out and just want to get drunk and just want to be bad and all that. But sometimes it happens very innocently, and that's what we need to be careful about. Well, what do we have to lose? We lose our health. That's one thing you lose. You lose your reputation. I don't care how you look at it, and I don't care how little you drink. You lose. It affects your reputation. If you want to be a godly person, you're trying to live, it affects your reputation to some degree. It affects your family. You could lose them. You know who my dad said you better obey? Oh, your granddaddy. My dad never expected me to call him my father or to treat him that way because he knew he had lost me a long time ago. See? Who's your family? You may not right at first, but it may happen eventually. Your money. How much can you spend? How much does it cost? Tishomingo, Oklahoma, I went in one day to get my fix. What's my fix? Diet Coke. And I'm standing ready to check out with my Diet Coke. And this dude's in front of me. And he has, what are they, in 12 packs? 20 packs? 24? I don't know. It's a great big box of beer. And he has it on his shoulder. He has a carton of cigarettes and a lottery ticket and goes out and gets in his car with three little old kids in diapers, hot day, no air conditioning, no clunker of a car, and he gets in. Isn't that a life? Isn't that a life? What a mess. Your money, that's what you have to lose. Your health, your reputation, your money, your family, your money, your eternal soul. What was it Jesus said? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And not only that, but the eternal soul of those that you might influence, whether a family member or just somebody that just one time sees you do something that starts them on the path that you might be able to control, but they can't, but they start on it because of... Who wants that on their conscience, man? Who wants to deal with that? I've got Luke 15, actually 8 through 10 is what I had in mind, and that's where Jesus talks about a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. She looked, searched diligently until she found the one that was lost. I always ask the question, well, how did the coin get lost in the first place? Somebody had to influence the coin to be lost. And so many people will spend eternity in hell because of the influence of somebody else that influenced their life. They did it unmeaningful. They didn't intend to, but they did it and it happened. What a cost. None of us want to have that experience. But it may be that we need to make a change. You might need to make a change. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, drunkards, revelers, such or extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. These are the people that were in the city of Corinth, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. They changed. There were a lot of people that had that problem. Problems of what we've read about and talked about here tonight. But they made a change. So many people that I've tried to work with said, yeah, but I just can't change. I just can't change. You just don't know what it's like. Well, there's part of that's true. I don't know exactly what it's like because I've not been there. But I know this, you can change. You can change. They change. You can change. And if you have a problem here tonight, you can change. How do we make the change? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And it may make a difference what our condition is. I mean, it may make a condition, it may make a difference. It may be something we battle with and deal with. But God loves us. He gave his son on Calvary. And he says, I've provided a way that in him, you can have forgiveness of your sins. And that's true for everybody here. And you may be here tonight, and you may be one that says, yeah, but I've done that. But what have I done? Just wasted it away because I've kind of given in to something that maybe I shouldn't have been given in to? What's my hope? Well, you know, the blood that washed your sins away when you became a Christian still washes your sins away. But God expects us to walk in the light as he's in the light. He doesn't expect us to continue on down a path that is destructive to our well-being whenever he's given us the life that we have, and he expects us to use it to the very best of our ability.